The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Friday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Wanted to read to you from Isaiah chapter 9, a very familiar Christmas passage. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. I'm excited, as I hope you are, to think about the coming of Jesus Christ on this earth to set up his kingdom, to have a an earth where righteousness and justice is throughout the land, where peace is just experienced by all the inhabitants of the land. The Bible calls that the millennial kingdom, the reign of Christ on the earth. You know, when we pray in the Lord's Prayer, or the model prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that day is coming. So we praise the Lord as we look forward to that. And as we think about Christmas time, his first coming, it makes us think also about the fact that he is coming again. As it says in Acts chapter 1, as they saw Jesus ascend into heaven, the angel said to those gathered, men of Galilee, believers, you know, why do you stand here gazing? This same Jesus whom you saw go up will come in like manner one day. Well, we want to talk about what's going on in the world. And when I think about what's going on in the world, I think about my good friend Bishop E.W. Jackson. He has a good finger on the pulse of America and what is going on in America. As you know, Bishop Jackson is a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained lawyer, pastor, author, and the president of Staying True to America's National Destiny. So, Bishop, welcome to the program today.
Pastor Jeff, it's a pleasure as always to be with you. Thank you for having me. You know what? Maybe I better move my microphone a little bit closer, huh?
Yeah, there you go.
There we go.
All right, Bishop, lots of things going on. You and I talked briefly yesterday. The big news item, I guess, was they found the Brown University murderer, died of suicide inside of a storage unit, is what I read today. I didn't think they were ever going to find the guy. It was the Keystone cops working on that one.
Well, you know, had it not been for, this is really an ironic story, had it not been for a homeless person living in the building, in the on a campus building that he went into case, we probably still would not have caught the guy. Mm-hmm. But just goes to show the lax security. You got a homeless person living in the basement of a university building, and he's your watchman? I mean, it just this stuff is, you can't make this stuff up, Jeff. It's a terrible tragedy because three people have lost their lives, and I'm convinced it didn't have to happen if Brown had taken the proper security measures.
Okay, so Bishop, you're a graduate of Harvard, an Ivy League school. Brown is considered one of the elite schools in America. It seems like the elite schools have been eaten up with DEI more than any other state school or anything like that. Why do you think that is?
You know, I think it goes back to something you and I were talking about before the program, godlessness. You know, I'm convinced, Jeff, when people reject the morality of God, when they reject God's absolute standards of right and wrong, they make up their own. And they create their own morality so they can pat themselves on the back about how good they are. And this godless, atheistic, secularistic, Marxist ideology basically has a whole new standard of good and evil. And of course, that standard is social justice and racial justice. And somehow we've got to throw merit out the window and focus instead on equity. And what that breeds is incompetence and negligence and all kinds of problems. So yeah, they refused to sign up for some of the more extensive security measures like this real-time crime program in the city. They refused to put cameras in places where everyone now agrees there should be cameras because they're too busy focused on DEI and on, you know, all of this other crazy stuff that they teach instead of being focused on educating these kids and keeping them safe.
Well, and the head of security, I think it was somebody on Fox pointed out the fact that that guy just seems to be a man without a clue, but it appears that they hired him because of the color of his skin. It's the Martin Luther King dream in reverse. It's all about the color of one's skin. It doesn't have anything to do with the content of his character or his abilities and capabilities to do the job.
I remember a story about a professor who left Columbia University because he was charged with hiring a new person for his department, and he was told that that person had to be a quote-unquote person of color and preferably someone from the LGBTQ community. And when the person shot back and said, well, what if the very best person, the most qualified person for the job is a heterosexual male with a family? They said, well, that won't do. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just quit. And he said, you know what? It's time for me to go. He quit. They said, because no, we don't want the best person for the job. We want someone who meets these predetermined criteria that we have that will make us feel good about ourselves and, of course, further our leftist agenda.
Mm-hmm. It's just sickening. You know, we talk about Lady Justice having a blindfold, and you know, I think in hiring we should look at who's the best candidate for the job. In choosing students, who meets the criteria, who are the top students, especially at a school like Brown or Harvard or any of these Ivy League schools. But when you start to lower the bar because you want to reach quotas and things like that, what are you going to get with that kind of metric?
You know, Jeff, and the silly thing about this, which just goes to show this is a concocted agenda, America is the most diverse country on earth. We really are. And I'll take my organization, for example. I've hired many people over the 17 years of our organization, and I've hired people from all backgrounds. To use these racial declinations, white, black, Asian, but I've never looked for somebody from that background. I've just gone out look for the best person, the most qualified person for the job. Sometimes the answers are from people from different backgrounds, but I don't ever make the decision on that basis. I make the decision on who is the person who can do this job best. And I tell you, that's the way America became the greatest nation on earth. And if we leave that, we're cutting our own throats.
Well, Bishop, talk to me about this, because one of the things I've noticed, it seems like our whole country has kind of adopted that hip hop culture. Kids seem to like that, the gang banger type of thing where, you know, you kind of develop your own language. You have, you know, it's not the King's English by any stretch of the imagination. I remember, Bishop, watching an interview with Wilt Chamberlain. You know, back in the day, athletes would finish college. If you went on an athletic scholarship, you finished college. They didn't have a different set of standards for their athletes. Everybody was expected to go to class and do the tests and and that kind of thing. And then it's just we've dumbed that down. We've elevated all these athletes. You're the prize of our school. We don't care if you can read or write. I don't think we've helped ourselves at all.
No, in fact, what we've allowed the left to get in here and make us ashamed of who we are as Americans, ashamed of our commitment to excellence, ashamed of our commitment to personal responsibility, ashamed of our commitment to merit and earning your way. And instead, we have delegitimized the country to the point in the minds of some where we owe everybody everything because everybody's oppressed. And once you're part of an oppressed group, you're entitled. And mm-hmm. so your ability just doesn't matter. And again, I mean, that's suicidal for a society, particularly for ours, because we built this great nation by the grace of God by focusing on merit and on ability and on creativity and productivity. But we've allowed ourselves to be convinced that we should hate ourselves and hate American culture, when in fact, we shouldn't be ashamed at all of defending American culture, defending its integrity. And it's not white culture or black culture. It's a unique American culture mm-hmm. based upon universal values that everybody ought to be able to embrace.
Well, okay, so Bishop, you have a person like Jasmine Crockett, who, she is educated. She can speak well when she wants to, but she goes into this ghetto kind of communication style. How does that help anybody?
Well, I'll tell you what, it doesn't help her, and it certainly doesn't help the community she claims to want to represent, because it dumbs people down, and she's bought into the culture of pathology, that if you talk this sort of ghetto patois, you're authentically black. If you speak proper English, you're not. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is pathological. I mean, that's like saying if you're a surgeon and you kill your patients, then that really shows you're down with the struggle. But if you actually save them, you might be acting white. I mean, it's just stupid. Uh-huh. But this is what people have bought into, and again, that's why we've got to stand up for our culture as Americans and for what we believe in, no matter what people say. We got a school. We don't allow children to speak broken English, and we correct them. I mm-hmm. heard Benny Thompson say to the chairman of his committee when he was trying to rebuke Kristi Noem, he said, "Would you instruct the witness to wait until I ask my question?" Mm-hmm. So I'm saying, you are in the United States Congress and you don't know that the word is ASK. It's ask, not axe. Mm-hmm. But, this is, am I the only one who notices that this man can't even speak proper English?
Right. Yeah, I don't get it. And she just, boy, she puts it on so thick. Now, Wesley Hunt has been kind of, going up against her. And he's a military guy, super intelligent, mm-hmm. extremely articulate, and he just shows that why would you want to go there when you can communicate well to people and show that you are educated and show that this is the standard? That's why I'd mentioned about Wilt Chamberlain. Wilt Chamberlain was extremely articulate. And, if Wilt Chamberlain were around today, if he were a kid today, 18, 19, 20, he'd be expected to speak like Jasmine Crockett.
Yeah, Martin Luther King said, if you're going to be a street sweeper, you ought to sweep streets like Michelangelo painted the Sistine Chapel. Mm. I mean, it was such a different attitude, and people forget that he talked that way, that he talked about the importance of excellence. He talked about the importance of being ready for opportunity when it comes. But now we're being told, no, being authentically black is to be dumbed down. It's to talk stupid. I'll tell you, Jeff, but to me, the very thing they accuse conservatives of being is what they are. They accuse conservatives mm-hmm. of being sellouts and they're not really black. But these people are doing nothing but repeating the sort of minstrel show mentality of 100 years ago when black people were expected to perform. And that's what mm-hmm. they're doing. They're performing.
Yeah. Well, we're talking to Bishop E.W. Jackson, and we're just kind of talking about issues. When we come back, we're going to talk about the House vote on Protecting Children's Innocence Act with a vote of 216 to 211. But 207 Democrats voted against it. They don't want to protect children's innocence. They don't want to make it a felony to perform gender mutilation and provide puberty blockers, things that should be just common sense to every American. 207 Democrats voted against it. So we're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk, Bishop, but when we come back, I'm going to talk to you about the tipping point, because prayer seems to be the forgotten factor in saving our country. You're listening to Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
Candace talks about finding out she was pregnant. Thankfully, an ultrasound provided by Preborn allowed her to hear her baby's heartbeat.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
Preborn currently has clinics that do not have ultrasound machines. Would you consider a leadership gift and sponsor a machine today? These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most centers can afford. Your donation will save countless lives for years to come. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/AFR.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. Hey, I wanted to tell you about the Hannah's Heart Conference in 2026. It takes place at the Hope Church in Tupelo, Mississippi, happening January 30th through 31st. Has great guest speakers, special music. You can expect testimonies from the hosts of Hannah's Heart, Ann Cockrell and Kendra White, fellowship with other women navigating through the issues of infertility, miscarriage, singleness, hard diagnoses, and other challenges. There's food provided, and we're having a Christmas sale. Today is the last day of the Christmas sale, 50% off for the conference. Just use the code HOPE50, HOPE50 at checkout, and you can receive that Christmas discount. So go to afr.net/HHC2026, afr.net/HHC2026, and you can check it out. Well, we're talking to Bishop E.W. Jackson, and Bishop, let's talk a little bit about that vote in the House on criminalizing gender, well, quote-unquote gender-affirming care. It truly is gender mutilation, and 207 Democrats voted against it. They said we need to provide this, and it can't be a crime for physicians to perform these surgeries and provide these drugs. What say you to that?
This is why, Jeff, I refer to these folks as part of a demonic cult. Because, you know, a cult denies reality as normal people know it and see it, and then denounces the people who don't see it the way they see it, because they say, well, we're more enlightened than you are. Now, what's more common sense and more straightforward than you don't cut the body of a minor because of their psychological predispositions and change their lives forever in an irreversible way? You just don't do that. That's why we don't allow people who are too young to drive. We don't allow people to drink. We don't allow them to do things that we know could have a very deleterious impact on their lives, and we want them to wait until they're adults or older to make those decisions for themselves rather than adults facilitating it. This is one of the worst things you could do. It's more irreversible than almost any other restriction we have on what young people can do. Mm-hmm. And they are all in on it. And to me, it just goes to show they are completely disconnected from reality and certainly disconnected from God.
Okay, so Bishop, if you had young children today living where you lived in Virginia, would you feel comfortable sending them to a public school?
Absolutely not. I counsel everybody I know, Pastor Jeff, do not send your children to a government school. Now, there may be some rare exceptions. I've got a friend in North Carolina who's on a school board. He said, we're all Christians and we watch the curriculum like a hawk. There may be rare exceptions, but I would say probably 99% of the government schools in America are only going to potentially take your children from you spiritually and psychologically by inculcating them, indoctrinating them with a bunch of stuff that is completely against God. So no, we took our children out of, in the 1980s, we took our children out of government schools precisely for this reason, and that was 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely not. I wouldn't do it, and I don't recommend it that anybody else do it.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. You know, depending on where you live. So Texarkana, Texas, we still have lots of Christians in the school district, lots of Christian teachers. They're not alienating parents, but boy, you got to be real careful with what your kid is being taught. Now, how about Bishop with sending your kid to a state-run university?
I did it. Well, we sent our children to two colleges. Both private schools, but secular schools. I wouldn't do that again. I wouldn't do it again because now, thank God, they came out okay. And I think whatever problems they might have as human beings had nothing to do with the college they went to in this case, because they were raised up in a Christian home. But I tell you, we were putting so much at risk and spending a lot of money to do it. It just doesn't make sense. But again, that was a long time ago. We didn't have the revelation that we have now on it. But if I had to do over again, no. They'd be going to Hillsdale or to some Christian school. I think there are a couple of others that are out there, a few others that are out there where they're going to really affirm the values of Christian parents.
Yeah, it's dangerous. And I think Christian parents are waking up. I think the church is waking up to the fact that you can't feed your kids to the lions. They're not able to handle that. And very few have the courage and the knowledge to handle a seasoned professor who's going to tell them America's a terrible country and God doesn't exist and all those things. And so, we're doing our kids a great disservice by letting them go there thinking everything's going to be fine because, quote unquote, it's a Christian school.
And I hear that from parents, by the way. In fact, just recently a parent said they sent their child away to school and the child came back entirely transformed for the worse. Mm. So, yeah, we just can't put our children at risk that way.
Okay, Bishop, let's talk about Donald J. Trump. He had his short, I think it was 18, 19 minutes address to the country. You and I talked yesterday briefly about the fact that he can say some things that you just say, why'd you do that? You had mentioned dancing on the grave of Rob Reiner. What is the point of that? I realize, you know, he and Rob Reiner didn't like each other and Rob Reiner had said some horrible things about him. But the guy's dead, died a horrible death, murdered by his own son, by all accounts. You just don't say publicly those things. And yet he's such a dichotomy. And I've said this, Bishop, I want you to comment on this. In some ways, Trump has thick skin because he takes a licking and keeps on ticking. I mean, most of us would say, forget it. I'm a billionaire. I don't need this. But he keeps going. And then in other ways, he has very thin skin. It's kind of wild when you look at it. But what say you?
Well, you and me and probably all of your listeners right now are thinking the same thing, which is there are times when I don't like what he says, but I love what he does.
Right.
And it's his policies ultimately that matter with him. I'm not making excuses for him. But I think we just have to understand this is a guy who cut his teeth on the construction sites of New York City dealing with roughnecks and mafia people and all this. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just where he comes from. You hit me, I hit back harder. You know, you show me no mercy, I show you no mercy. Mm-hmm. And that's just, I think that's just the way he thinks. But I've also been told that when any person it reaches out with a hand of peace, he is quick to forgive and mm-hmm. quick to let it go. So you're right. He is a dichotomy. You know, he's not Jesus.
Right.
You know? So we just have to pray for him that he will continue to grow in the fruit of the Spirit, but that God will continue also to use him to implement policies that are going to benefit our country.
Okay, so Bishop, he had said a week or so ago about America being at a tipping point. Which direction are we going to go? And I think that I don't think he realizes how prophetic that statement is, because I do see America at a tipping point, and the answers aren't going to come from the White House. They're not going to come from any politician or any political party. The answer to that question, which way are we going to go, is going to come from the church. And if Christians won't pray, if we won't repent and get right and start crying out to God, I think America's going to go in the wrong direction.
You know, I've often said that in the middle of the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln, I think it was his, maybe it was toward the end, his second inaugural address, where he said, you know, we all read the same Bible, we all pray to the same God. And he was right, but that's no longer true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that I really believe that was the basis upon which the nation could be knit back together. That there were vast disagreements about the nature of our republic, vast disagreements at that point still about slavery, but everybody agreed that we are all answerable to Almighty God and that the Bible is true. Man, what do you do in a culture where half of us maybe believe that, and the rest categorically reject that?
Mm-hmm.
So this is worse, in my view, than it was during the Civil War, because at least there was a foundation upon mm-hmm. which to rebuild unity. I don't know where we go from here. We can't come over to their side and agree with them, because it right. would be a betrayal of God. So in that case, I think either we become a prominently Judeo-Christian nation again, like we have been in the past, never perfect, but prominently Judeo-Christian, Or we just fall off the cliff into the abyss of sort of socialist Marxist kind of European style mm-hmm. Cultures, and we see where that's leading in Europe. Europe is collapsing. It's as far as I'm concerned, Europe is done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. And it seems like we had shared during the break. Okay, so you have a strange marriage between Islam and socialism. And we see that in Zoran Mandami. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's a Muslim socialist, which are, that's like airplane food. That's an oxymoron. You know, that's a jumbo shrimp. Those don't fit together, because none of the Islamic countries are socialistic. I mean, it's Sharia law. It's brutal. Now, I have stated, and I want you to comment on this, that between those two, with Mandami, being a Muslim and being committed to Islam is much more dangerous than being even a socialist, although both are bad. But how do you see that, and are you concerned about the rise of Islam in America?
Oh, profoundly concerned about it. You know, I was just reading a story about this Florida imam. He has got one of the largest mosques in America. He's in Florida, and he is denouncing our country. He's saying the only reason why America is not destroyed because there are Muslims here, and Allah is having mercy on America, and that the only way to preserve freedom in America is for America to be governed by Sharia. He has said that Donald Trump is human garbage, and that the Somalians are cleaner because they're Muslims than Donald Trump. I mean, it just on and on and on it goes, denouncing the country. I don't even know how this guy got here. I looked it up. He wasn't born here, which is a whole nother immigration question we need to be raising mm-hmm. again, like with this guy who committed the murders at Brown University. But yeah, I think Sharia is completely incompatible with a constitutional republic because the first allegiance of the Muslim is to Sharia, not to the government that governs them. And they all are taught that the end result must be a caliphate that runs, that rules the world and rules over all countries. So I think, man, this is the sleeper. This is the thing that people are not paying that much attention to while they're looking at socialism and Marxism. I think this thing could come in and be extremely dangerous, set up these enclaves where Sharia law governs mm-hmm. and where people are afraid to say anything because they don't want to be discriminate against somebody's religion. But it's more than a religion. It's a whole way of life that undermines a country like ours.
Mm-hmm. So Ilhan Omar, she made the statement the other day, Bishop, that the Somalis are doctors and lawyers and professional people. And somebody did a Grok search, and Grok said that said that 80% of Somalis are getting some kind of government assistance. And in Minnesota, they're scamming and gaming the system up to, $1 billion of fraud.
And more.
Yeah, it's just horrible. So, you know, I look at this stuff. Obviously, our government doesn't run by common sense. But anybody with common sense would be you prosecute those people and you get the rest of the people out of here.
Yeah, but you see, when you are committed to this agenda of collectivism and identity politics, and you're really cobbling those people together so they can keep you in power, mm-hmm. then you have to overlook evil. You have to overlook wrong. You have to redefine things. Well, you know, after all, there's some sense of entitlement because, you know, America's rich and Somalia's poor because of America. I mean, you know, they get all this convoluted non-logic that they come to in order to justify pretty much anything that anybody does who is one of their victim classes or their constituents. And it corrupts the whole system. It's what the founding fathers warned against. They said, look, corruption and ambition and the hunger for power could undermine even the most sacred of documents, George Washington said, like the Constitution of the United States. So these people are really a major threat. I think that we need to create a presumptive objection to anybody who wants to come into the country who is a Muslim and say, not that you can't get in, but that you've got to really answer some very pointed questions and convince mm-hmm. us that you will put the Constitution of the United States first, and when you take that oath, you will mean it.
Yeah, and you know, Bishop, there have been people in Congress that say, well, my loyalty is to my country or whatever. I forget which politician it was.
Ilhan Omar said she's concerned about Somalia.
Yeah.
So, you know.
That should be enough to say, well, you're out. You're not going to represent us. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to my good friend Bishop E.W. Jackson, Marine Corps veteran, Harvard-trained lawyer, pastor, author, and president of STAND. And every Friday, Bishop Jackson has a prayer time at 12 o'clock Eastern to pray for America. Let me encourage you to check that out. Hey, when we come back from the break, we're going to be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, the Bishop and I would love to take your call. So get on the phone, call us, and let's talk.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. Let me just remind you again, Hannah's Heart Conference 2026. It takes place January 30th through 31st. Guest speakers, Jane Johnson, author of Mercy Like Morning, will be sharing powerful, faith-filled messages for women walking through difficult seasons. You're going to hear testimonies from the hosts of Hannah's Heart, Ann Cockrell and Kendra White, fellowship with other women navigating the issues of infertility, miscarriage, singleness, hard diagnoses, and other challenges. There's food provided. It's going to be a great, great time. So there's a Christmas sale. Today is the last day of the Christmas sale. 50% off the price for this conference. Go to afr.net/HHC2026 for Hannah's Heart Conference, HHC2026. And use the code HOPE50 at the checkout to receive the Christmas discount. Well, I'm talking to Bishop E.W. Jackson, and in this segment, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. And we have Shirley on the line from Tennessee. Shirley, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call, Bishop Jackson. It's so good to hear you.
Thank you, Shirley.
I want to tell you, thank you so much for all that you've done. Seriously, I believe that you got many stars in your crown in heaven. And I'm trying to beat you, but I don't know if I'll get there. But, you know.
Listen, keep at it. Keep at it.
We're going to keep working. And
amen.
I'm thankful because nobody wants to live around murderers. Nobody wants murderers walking into the country. We got enough of our own. I'm one that will never, ever, ever believe that Charlie Kirk was shot by the man they're saying. I thank Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson and all who are revealing what I believe to be true, and many other Americans. And I thank you for just continuously working to serve America. We love you, and it's good to hear you. Maybe they'll do us all a favor and put you back on American Family Radio at Sandy Rio's
okay,
spot.
Okay,
thank you, Shirley.
Hey, Bishop, what do you make of all that conspiracy theory around Charlie Kirk?
Well, anybody who's followed me for a while knows I militate against conspiracy theories. I don't like them. I don't gravitate to them. Not that I don't think they can't exist, but I always say the ultimate conspiracy theorist or conspiratorial person is the devil. Mm-hmm. And when people all share the same worldview and all share the same hatreds and all share the same wickedness, it is easy for them to cooperate. It is easy for them to get on the same page because they're of the same spirit. Now, as far as Candace and Tucker specifically are concerned, I'm really concerned about their anti-Semitism these days, that this, mm-hmm. this descent into this hatred of Jewish people and blaming Jewish people. I've listened to Tucker on it, and Tucker just doesn't have any knowledge of the Word of God, in my view. So he doesn't mm-hmm. know what the Bible teaches about the relationship between God and the children of Israel and between Israel and the church. So they've completely lost me there.
Yeah. And I don't know if you watched the interview she did with Piers Morgan, but I don't get it. She seems like she's way out on a limb.
She has become somewhat unhinged in my view, but look, I think this is the bottom line, and some people may disagree with me on this, but see, I think when people are very young like that and they get highly elevated and they don't have the rooting, the grounding, mm-hmm. the wisdom, it can easily go to their heads. And, you mm-hmm. know, everybody's promoting them. And then suddenly you think, well, wait a minute, they took a wrong turn somewhere. Well, the problem is they had never really been truly tested. That's why the Bible tells us don't make
right.
a novice a bishop.
Right.
I think this principle is the same. Beware of elevating young people who have very little experience because they might just go off on the rails and you haven't learned what they really believe yet.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Well, we have George on the line from Missouri. George, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Merry Christmas. If we don't want these people running our country that are communists and socialists, well, I mean, I'm not a constitutionalist or anything, but why can't we amend our Constitution to not have head this off at the pass so nobody can run like this that's going to destroy our country anymore?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, Bishop, does the Constitution allow for this, and what can we do to change it if it does?
Well, I'm not sure what the this is. I mean, there are certainly restrictions on who can run, but they're very pro forma. I mean, you got to be 35 years old. You've got to be born in the United States of America. Beyond that, it doesn't really have much in the way of requirements. But I think the most important thing is to, if we look, politics is downstream from culture, and I believe culture is downstream from the spirituality of the nation. You talked about prayer earlier. Mm-hmm. If we get the culture of America together so we start producing people who love America, love God, love our people, actually mm-hmm. are sincerely interested in serving, we don't need a constitutional amendment to try to handle that. That'll take care of itself. We'll be producing the kind of people we want to see in leadership roles.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Bishop, I think about that John Adams quote that, you know, they developed the Constitution for a moral and religious yep. people, and it's wholly inadequate to govern any other. So that brings up the question, well, we don't have, as you'd mentioned, you don't have a country now that, you know, accepts the Bible and things like that. So we don't have a moral and religious people. How does the Constitution isn't designed for that?
You are absolutely right. And so amending the Constitution is very hard. I mean, I've got some proposals about doing that, but that's a very, very difficult thing to do. So obviously what we've got to get back to is what you mentioned earlier. We've got to get back to prayer. We've got to reclaim the spiritual culture, the Judeo-Christian culture of our country. We've got to restore that. We got to rebuild families as God designed them. We get that right. Again, I think the rest will take care of itself, but you're right. If we continue down this road of secularism, Marxism, atheism, Islamism, you're right. The Constitution could become a dead letter, and for many on the left, it already is.
Yeah. This is a scary deal, and prayer is the answer. So thank you, George. I appreciate you calling in. We have Alan on the line from Louisiana. Alan, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, Bishop. God bless
Good
you
morning,
guys.
Good morning, Alan.
Morning.
My question is related to the gentleman who just called. What are we going to do with all this information we have? The ground roots is very important. We're doing things here where we're dealing with our youth, our young people, to give them foundational stability and wisdom and knowledge and understanding who they are. But for now, with those who are occupying these seats of authority, who are spewing these things out about America, about the country, and all these things, look like, and then a lot of them are not born and raised here. Look like we should be able to deport them. That look like there's something, laws on the books already to be able to deal with this this treason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want me to?
Yeah, go ahead, Bishop.
Well, look, he really hit on something there because, see, first of all, I'm convinced this guy who just killed these people, he was not an American citizen, but he had permanent residency because he was the beneficiary of the diversity lottery. What is that? I think we've got to become much, much more restrictive. Look, our immigration policy is not to benefit the world. It's to benefit America.
Right.
And we should not be allowing people to come into our country who don't love this country and want to be a part of it and embrace its values and embrace our Constitution and all of that. So I think that we've, you know, the majority of Americans, well, not quite a majority, but close to it, believe that we ought to have a moratorium on immigration for a time to sort of get our own act together. I think President Trump is on the right track. People need to self-deport if they ever want to become citizens of our country and come the right way. But he's absolutely right. I mean, we would go a long way toward preserving our culture if we stop this allowing all these people who have been flooded into the country to stay, and we don't let that ever happen again. If that were to happen one more time, America as we know it could be done.
Right. That's exactly right. Well, Bishop, you've probably seen when they look at these European countries and then they compare them to Poland, because Poland is not letting those people in. And Poland is experiencing relative crime-free living, and they don't have all the problems that England's having in these other countries. What's Poland's immigration policy?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'm not sure what their exact immigration policy is, but I think they've taken the attitude that some of our leaders have forgotten, which is immigration is not to benefit the people of the world. Immigration is to benefit your country.
Right.
And so those policies should reflect what is best for the American people and the safety and stability and national security of our country. If we just do that, and say, okay, you want to come to America? Let's take a look and start vetting people properly and saying, you know, if you can't convince us that you want to come here and be a patriot and be in love with this country, you're not getting in.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think that would just, again, just change in attitude as well as policy would go a long way toward keeping crime down and keeping some of these destabilizing forces, like this imam I just talked about, mm-hmm. who is spewing this poison into the atmosphere and talking to Muslims all over this country, and in effect really encouraging them to engage in violence, even though he doesn't say it explicitly, but right. when he says, you know, America needs to be destroyed.
I think that ought to be, that's enough to say, hey, you're out. We're going to kick you out. You know, even Bill Maher, the big progressive liberal Bill Maher, he said, if you're burning the American flag and saying death to America in America, as they do in Dearborn, Michigan, with the Islams, the Muslims there, that should be enough to say, hey, you're out. We're going to get you out of the country. You want to destroy us.
And Jeff, you should be on probation, even a naturalized citizen, let alone a permanent resident. Again, how this guy who killed these people in Rhode Island and Massachusetts, how he ended up with permanent residency, I do not know. But even if you are a naturalized citizen, in my view, you should be on lifetime probation.
Mm-hmm.
So, right, you start that stuff and you're a naturalized citizen, the law should allow us to revoke your citizenship and send you back from whence you came. And
yeah.
You know what? We would be rid of Ilhan Omar on that basis.
Right, for sure. Well, I've always, if you want to just boil it down, I've always said, okay, if you have a sports team and you have people on your team that want your team to lose, you got to kick them out.
Right.
You can't be on the team. So, all right, we have Timothy on the line from Alabama. Timothy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thanks for having me, and brothers, thank you for stirring up people to good works, and like Amen. Peter did. One question for each of you, and Jeff, I think I heard you say you were trying to reconcile how Mamdani, a Muslim, was embracing socialism. I wonder if you would comment on this. Do you think he's just being opportunistic with the groundwork that's been laid here in America? He's embracing socialism like many of the younger generations are, and he's just trying to rise up into power somewhere on a ticket that's already kind of been laid and get some measure of influence to then bring Sharia law more and Muslim influence into that. And then, Bishop, I would love to hear your take on this. You said that you're not really sure where we're going to go exactly, how we're going to take everything back. And it seems to me that the Bible lays out a plan for the multiplication of Christianity that has been waning, but that the Muslims have been following. And that is to welcome many children into each family and parents discipling
right.
those children. And so I'd love to hear your take on
yeah.
how, if we were to apply that plan more effectively, we might be able to reach more people.
Yeah, good. Those are good questions, Timothy. Well, I agree with you. I think that could be the case, that Mamdani is pretending to go along with this, and then he's going to switch horses. What's the word you use, Bishop, that allows Muslims to lie?
Taqiyya.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah,
taqiyya. They can lie to advance the cause, just like communists. They can, and it's a moral and a good thing to do, to lie to advance the cause of Islam.
Yes. So I think that could very well be the case. Bishop, we got about a minute left. You want to answer the question
well,
he posed to you?
Look, I would simply say, I don't know that I said that I don't know how to do it. It's a question of whether there is the will to do it. I believe that America can be saved, and restoring those Judeo-Christian values and principles is the way to do it. And I mentioned even restoring the family as an important part of that.
Amen to that. Well, Bishop's always a joy to have you, my brother. I've been thinking we're going to have to set a date for 2026 for you to come back to First Baptist Texarkana. Our church just loves you. And
well,
so,
I love you too, and love them too. So, man, anytime, just let me know.
All right, brother. Well, if I don't get to talk to you before the 25th, have a very Merry Christmas.
Same to you, Pastor Jeff. Thanks. Same to your audience as well.
God bless you. Well, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And guess what? God will use you as His witness. If you need to reach me, Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org. That's Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.